Turn with me to chapter 21. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 21. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Does everybody say amen when you get there? 2 Samuel chapter 21, and we're going to start reading in verse 15. This is the word of the Lord. It says, when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David and his servants with him went down and fought against the Philistines, and David grew faint. Then Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose bronze spear was 300 shekels, who was bearing a new sword, thought that he could kill David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and struck the Philistine, and he killed him. Then the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall go out no more with us to battle, lest you quench the lamp of Israel. Now it happened afterward that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai, the Hushathite, killed Saph, who was one of the sons of the giant. Again there was war at Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanah, the son of Jesir Origam, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Yet again there was a war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. So when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and the hand of his servants. Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy. We thank you for your love, God, that you've demonstrated to us by sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, Lord. For that, we're forever thankful, God, and we're forever grateful. That you made a way for us where there was no way, Lord. We tonight stand before you as a people that look to you for direction, look to you for healing, look to you for provision. We look to you for strength in our time of weakness. We look to you, God, for victory in all of our battles, Lord. You are everything to us, Lord. And we just pray, God, this evening that you would open up our hearts and our mind and our understanding, that we can receive everything that you would have for us, Lord. Our intention, God, is to be more like you and less like ourselves, Lord. We want to please you in what we do. We want to please you with our lives. We want to bring honor and glory to you, Lord. Help us, God, to accomplish this. Give me grace to minister your word, God, with the gift that you've given me, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You can be seated this evening. Praise the Lord. I want to thank the Lord this evening for my salvation, amen, for his grace, for his mercy, for the opportunity that has been bestowed upon me by our pastor, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, the ministers on staff here at the church. Thank you for this opportunity. What I want to talk about this evening is I want to carry on the theme of relentless pursuit. And one thing that stands out in this portion of Scripture that I read is that the Philistines were persistent in fighting against David and the children of Israel. In these seven verses that we read here this evening, on four different occasions, they waged war against the children of Israel, and they waged war against the King David. So we know that as we are talking about during this time of elevation, about relentlessly pursuing the Lord, we also have to understand that the enemy is also relentless. We also have to understand that it is just as much as we want to be relentless in accomplishing God's plan and purpose for our lives, that there is an enemy that is equally relentless in trying to divert us from accomplishing what God has for our lives. You know, in my neighborhood, at the local post office, there is a bronze plaque that's probably about 4 feet tall and about 3 feet wide. And on that plaque in the post office, are the names of every man in my neighborhood, in my community, that served during World War II. One of the names that is on that plaque is my grandfather's name, Simón Alanís. And as I look at his life, I think about the struggles that he faced coming to this country where English was his second language. And I think about the struggles that he had being discriminated against and to be made feel like less than. And I see that, I think about him building his own house, a house that will very soon be 80 years old that he built with his own two hands. He made the adobe bricks that went into the construction of the walls. He cut his own lumber, and he built the house that him, his wife, and his children would make their life. And during the mid-40s, during the World War II, where America was at war, he was enlisted to go and fight in the United States military, in the United States Army. Now, this was him fighting for a country that did not embrace him. But my grandfather felt a duty that he needed to defend this country, that he needed to risk his life, that he needed to do everything that was requested upon him, because the country that he lived in was giving him an opportunity to provide a better life for his family. So he did that. I think about how relentless he was in coming to a foreign country and being a migrant farm worker, traveling from city to city and state to state, depending on the crops that needed to be picked, just to eke out a meager existence for him and his family. I think about him never giving up on his dream of fulfilling the American dream and becoming somebody and giving his children an opportunity to be successful in their lives. You see, a lot of times we think about relentless, and we think about relentless people, and we associate it with maybe an athlete that is relentless in his pursuit of a championship, or maybe a sports team that is in relentless pursuit of some kind of trophy or some kind of accomplishment or some kind of accolade. We think of relentless, and we might think of it as some kind of an explorer that tries to go and discover a new land, or tries to discover some kind of a miracle drug for some kind of sickness. We think about maybe people that climb Mount Everest, and they're relentless in their attempt to go up and climb the world's highest mountain. But I want you to know that relentless people take on different shapes and they take on different forms. When I think about relentless people, I think about single mothers. I think about single mothers, and I think about grandparents that are raising their grandchildren because their own children are not able to raise them. I think about them being relentless in getting up every morning and sending those young children to school, making sure that they're bathed, making sure that they do their homework, making sure that they have food to eat, making sure that they have shoes on their feet. I look at single parents. I look at grandparents that are raising their grandchildren. And for me, that is the face of relentlessness. I think about people that get up every morning and they go to work. I think about people that I see as I'm driving to work that are there on the bus stop waiting for a bus so that they can get to their job, just so that they can make a life for them and for their families. I look at them and I see the face of a person that is relentless in their pursuit of a better life. I look at different people, men and women, that come into the Victory Homes, that are lost without hope and direction, but every day wake up and tell themselves, I'm going to make it. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm tired of living the life that I've been living. I don't want to go back to live on the streets. That is relentlessness. I think about people in our church that have come from a life of drugs and alcohol and gang violence. And we might not be perfect, and we might not do everything right in our lives, but Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, event after event, offering after offering, we are supporting the work that God is doing, relentless in our pursuit for a better life, and relentless in pursuing the plan that God has for our lives. Relentless. You know, we talk about relentless people, and sometimes we think that we don't qualify to be a relentless person, that that's pie in the sky kind of things, that that is reserved for another type of individual. But I want you to know that if we take a look at our own lives, we can see that in a lot of areas we've been relentless. Getting up every day and going to work, that shows that you're relentless. When you get up, and even though your body don't feel like going to work, and even though you know you're going to have a headache when you get there, you still do it because you know that by doing so, you provide a better life for your family. I think about men in the ministry of Victory Outreach that have been relentless in their pursuit of the call of God upon their lives. I look at the life of Pastor Sonny, that over 50 years he has been relentless in pursuing, reaching the hurting people of the inner city throughout the world. Relentless. Never giving up. Not perfect. Not having struggles. Not having a hard time. But being relentless in pursuing the plan and purpose that God had for his life. I look locally at our own church. And I look back at Pastor Danny when he took over the church here in Albuquerque. When the announcement was made that he was going to be the pastor of the church, it wasn't a favorable decision for a lot of people. And a lot of people left. And Pastor Danny was left alone with me and Pastor Joe and some others that are here tonight. But he was relentless. He didn't give up. He stuck the course. Him and Sister Barbara and the kids continued day after day, relentlessly pursuing the plan and the purpose that God had for their lives. You know, every once in a while, Pastor Daniel will get a strange text from me just out of the blue. And it'll say something like, "Pastor, I love you." Or, "Pastor, I appreciate you." Just out of the blue. And he probably doesn't even know where it's coming from or what I'm going through. But you know what? Those are during the times in my life when I start to reflect on what God has done in my life. I start to reflect on how far God has brought me. And I start to think about those 13 years when I was backslidden without hope or direction in my life, thinking that God had turned his back on me. And how Pastor Danny was always there to send me a birthday text, to wish me happy birthday on my birthday, to send me a text to see how I was doing, to stop his world in many cases, to talk to me and tell me, "Hey, there's still a place for you here in Victory Outreach." And it's because of his and his wife's relentlessness that when it came time for me to come back to Jesus, I could come back to Victory Outreach and know that Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara were still here and they welcomed me with open arms. You know who else is relentless? All the prodigal sons and daughters that are here in this church. I applaud you. If you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, I applaud you because you humbled yourself. You didn't care what people were going to say or what people were going to think. You came back to church. You came back home and you stuck it out and you're still here. And now God is using your life because you're relentless and you're not giving up. And that goes out to everybody that has struggled, that might have failed, that might have fell, that might have backslid. Then you came back. You've been relentless because you're still here, sticking it out day after day after day, trusting and believing that God has a plan and a purpose for your future. You know, this portion of Scripture deals with my favorite character in the Bible. His name is David. And if we look at the life of David, there are three things that stand out to me in his life. His relentless pursuit of the presence of God is first and foremost the thing that stands out in his life. He was always looking for the presence of God. He was always looking for the counsel of God. He was always looking to be doing what God had called him to do. He was relentless in his pursuit for God's presence. And he was also relentless in his pursuit of God's purpose for his life. He always pursued God's purpose. He wanted to be positioned exactly where God wanted him to be. If God wanted him to face the giant, he faced the giant. If God wanted him to run from King Saul, he ran from King Saul. If God wanted him to be the king, he became the king. If God wanted him to leave Jerusalem and everything that he had done because his son wanted to kill him, then he did it. He wanted to be positioned where God wanted him at all times. He was always, always pursuing the purpose that God had for his life. But you know the other thing that David always did? Is he always pursued his enemies. He never backed down from a fight. All these, in this portion of Scripture, the Bible says that David went to the Philistines. The Bible says that when David was challenged by the giant Goliath, he ran down to the valley. He didn't run away. He didn't hide in a tent. David was a man that was always up to the challenge. He never strayed away from a fight. He always went up and he pursued his opposition because he trusted and believed that God was with them. You know, we hear about the full armor of God. And it talks about the helmet of salvation, and it talks about the belt of truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It talks about the shield of faith, and it talks about the breastplate of righteousness. Everything that protects the front of a soldier. God has our back. But you know why there's no armor in the back? Because God never intended us to run away. God never intended us to give our backs to the enemy. God never intended us to back down from a fight against the enemy. The Bible says that we need to stand. And when you've done everything to stand, to still stand some more. Because God never intended his children to run away from the enemy. He intended us for us to stand up and fight against anything the enemy throws against us. He always pursued his enemy. You see, something that stands out to me in this portion of Scripture is that four different occasions the Philistines came back to fight against David. Persistent. They were persistent. David was relentless. Sometimes the enemy is persistent in trying to knock us down. But we got to be relentless in knowing that God's going to give us the victory over the enemy. I think that it's a little ironic, and I don't want to start some new doctrine or anything. But when David went into the valley of Elah to fight against the giant Goliath, it's ironic to me that he picked up five stones, but he only used one. And here, in the latter part of David's life, he faces four of the giant's relatives that make up the other four stones that weren't used in the valley of Elah. Which I think is interesting because of this. When David fought against the giant Goliath, he was a young man. Full of energy. He was brand new. He had fought a lion. He had fought a bear. David was probably at the top of his health. He was young and strong when he went up against the giant Goliath. But in this portion of Scripture that we're reading, it's a very different David. Years have passed. David's been through some things. He's fought some battles. He's had some struggles. He's had some setbacks. This is a whole different David than the David that fought against the giant Goliath. But even at his age, and even having gone through everything that he went through, when it was time to go to war, he said, "Count me in, I'm going with you." Even when it was time to go and fight the same Philistines, he said, "Count me in, I'm going to finish the Philistines. I'm going to finish what I started. I should have killed them all when I had the chance, but now they're coming back to try to take me down. And you know what? This time, let's get rid of all of them." You see, what happens a lot of times is when we first get saved, we have a huge giant to fight. For some of us, it was alcohol. Some of us, it was drugs. Some of us, it was violence. Some of us, it was low self-esteem. Whatever it is that brought us to Jesus. Or maybe you haven't given your life to Jesus, but you're here tonight because you're looking for that. You're looking for some help in overcoming whatever is holding you back, whatever has you bound, whatever has your life in turmoil. You're here tonight and you're looking for that. I want you to know that that answer is Jesus, and God can help us to bring down any giant that might be afflicting us. We had that giant in our lives, and we were able to bring him down. With God's help, His grace, His mercy, the blood of Jesus, we were able to overcome those things that held us down. That giant in our life that told us that our lives could never be different. That giant in our lives that told us that we would always be a drug addict. That giant in our life that always told us that we would never amount to anything. That giant in our life that told us that nothing good would ever become of us. We were able to defeat that giant when we first got saved. But you know what? The battle's not over. Because the enemy comes to us later on after we've been serving the Lord for a while. He comes with us with a different kind of giant. He comes with us with giants that have different skills. With giants that attack us a different way. You see, the Bible says that Goliath stood alone when he challenged the army of Israel. But in these four different battles, the relatives of Goliath aren't alone. They got help. And they're fighting against David. They're fighting against his future. They're fighting against his family. They're fighting against his heritage, his lineage. They're fighting against the plan and the purpose that God has for his life. You see, there is a lot at stake in David fighting the Philistines over and over and over. You see, because the devil will always come at us because he wants to destroy the plan and the purpose that God has for our lives. You see, David was a king of Israel, but he had a son by the name of Solomon that would be the next king. And he couldn't go down to the Philistines because that was not only going to jeopardize his life, but it was going to jeopardize the future and the plan and the purpose that God had for his children. There's more at stake for David now. Because in the beginning when he was fighting against Goliath, the only thing that was at stake was his life. Because if he would die, then it was over. It didn't matter what happened. He didn't have no kids. But now he's got children. He's got more responsibility. He's older. He has a kingdom of people that are looking to him for guidance and direction. And the stakes are a lot higher now than they were when he fought against the giant Goliath. He has more to lose. So he's still got to show up to the battle, and the enemy comes at him four different times. You see, our battle is always with the enemy, but he comes at us in a lot of different ways. One of the ways that I want to talk about here this evening that the enemy comes to us later on as we've been serving the Lord for a while is he comes to us in the area of pride. You see, because if there was a person that could be prideful, it would be David. If there was a man who had a display case full of trophies, it was David. If there was anyone who had a story that could one-up anybody in the room, it was David. If there was anybody that could beat himself in the chest and say, you know what, man, these are all my accomplishments, these are all the things that I've done, it was David. You see, a lot of times when we've been serving the Lord for a while, we forget about the struggle that we had early on. And somehow, some way, we think that we have made it this far on our own strength, on our own abilities, and because of our own talents and our own strengths. And we forget that if it wasn't for God, let me say that again because I don't think everybody's hearing me. I think that we forget that if it wasn't for God, our lives would be just as messed up as they were before we came to Jesus. And the older we get, the more responsibility that we have. Because we're not just thinking about ourselves. Now we got children. Now we got grandchildren. Now we got people that we work with. Now we got people in the church that are looking at our lives saying, you know what, man, I hope that he makes it. I hope that he stands. Because this is a person whose life I want my life to be like. But when we allow pride to creep in and we think that we've gotten here by ourselves, we think that it's because of our talent or our own abilities or that we don't need God that much anymore. I can skip a couple of days of prayer. I'm all right. I don't need God as much as I needed him before. I don't have to go to church all the time. Because I've heard every message. I've been to every conference. I've been to every summit. I got enough word in me to last me a lifetime. I don't have to go to church. And we allow pride to come in. And when pride comes in, It doesn't come alone. Because pride opens the door to all kinds of other evil things. Because then all of a sudden, we start thinking that not only do we not need church, we start thinking that we don't need people. We start thinking that we don't need the people in the church. I got here on my own. I don't care if nobody talks to me in the church. I don't need them. I got all this by myself. You know, another thing that could have happened to David, and I give him props in this portion of Scripture, because one of the other things that the enemy attacks us with is complacency. David didn't have to go to the battle. He was the king. He had proven himself in battle. He had proven himself in war. He had proven himself to his family. He had proven himself to his soldiers. He had proven himself to everybody in Israel that he was down for a good fight. He could have kicked back and said, you know what, you guys go fight the Philistines. You guys go handle your business. But you know what, David wasn't like that. He didn't get lazy. He didn't rest on his laurels of what he did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. He was always looking to join the battle. He was always looking to go down and fight the Philistines because in his heart, he was relentless. He was a man of war. That was going through his veins. That was part of his DNA. If there was a good fight, he wanted to be there. You see, and a lot of times what happens is after we've been serving the Lord, we get complacent. We don't want to do the things that we used to do. We don't want to go to the streets anymore. We don't want to witness to people and tell them about Jesus anymore. We don't want to show up to church early anymore. We don't want to go to the events that are inconveniencing us on Saturdays or on a Sunday. All of a sudden, it's a burden to show up to different things in the church. Where souls are going to be saved, where people's lives are going to be transformed. All of a sudden it becomes a burden because we'd rather stay home and binge watch Game of Thrones than come to the house of God where people are being transformed by the power that's in the name of Jesus. David, throughout his life, with the exception of that one time when he fell into sin with Bathsheba, was never complacent. He was always looking to do more. Always looking to expand the kingdom. Always looking for a fight. Always looking to do battle. He could have stayed home, but instead he went out there and he fought. His own people, his own soldiers told him, you know what, David, you got to chill out. You're not as young as you used to be. This guy almost took you out, David. You better kick back. We know you got hard and we love you. We appreciate you because you got hard. But homeboy, you know, you got to take a break. We can't afford for you to die. You're the lamp. You're the vision holder. You're the one that gives us direction to where God wants to take us. We need to take a little bit of load off of you, David. And they continue to fight. But you know, let me read the last portion of that passage that we read. It says, these four were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Let me read that again because I'm hoping that this little part sticks in. It says, these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. That's a direct contrast to the beginning of David's career or his walk with the Lord or his searching for the kingdom. When David killed Goliath, he killed him alone. And the Bible says that the women started to sing songs about David. That Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his tens of thousands. He did it by himself. All the accolade was given to him. He had killed Goliath. That was his claim to fame. That was his notoriety. He was a giant killer. But later on in his life, the Bible says that this battle wasn't won by just David alone. The Bible says that the battle was won by David and his servants. You know what that tells us? Is that we need people. We need people to help us. We don't know it all. We ain't got it all together. It doesn't matter how long you've been serving God. You need somebody in your life. You need the church family. You need the people of God. You can't isolate yourself into thinking that I've done this by myself. I don't need anybody. I don't need to come around. I'm all right. It's just me and God till the hubcaps fall off. No, this portion of Scripture shows us that we are going to need people to help us win some of those battles in our lives because we can't do it alone. And what better place than Victory Outreach? Because the testimonies that we have in our church here are testimonies of men and women that have been relentless. I think about the people in our church, the couples in our church. And you know that the majority of the people in our church that are married shouldn't even be married? They shouldn't. Statistically, there is no way that your relationship should be working. You have men and women who both have come from a life of drug addiction. In the world, that is a recipe for disaster. In our church, we have couples that have been in jail and in prison that are together. In the world, that is a recipe for disaster. We have couples in our church that have had struggles and have had relationship problems. And statistically, in the world, that is a recipe for disaster. But in the church, in the kingdom of God, because God is able to transform an individual's life, because you have men and women that are relentlessly pursuing their relationship to stand on God's promises and say, no, devil, we're not going to be a statistic. We're going to stand on the promises of God, and we're going to demonstrate that God is more than able to keep us together. Relentless. You know, I believe this evening that God wants us to be relentless, just like David was. First and foremost in our pursuit of God's presence. Because aside from that, nothing's going to happen. Aside from the presence of God in our lives, nothing else is going to happen. God is the one that opens doors. God is the one that gives us victory. God is the one that helps us to overcome those obstacles and challenges in our lives. We need to run to God and not from God. Like David, we got to relentlessly pursue His purpose for our lives, where we are constantly positioning ourselves to be in the place that God wants us to be so that He can give us direction and use us to bring honor and glory to His name. And I think that tonight as well, we have to pursue our enemy. I think that for a long time, the church is, Muhammad Ali, back in the 70s and 80s when he was at his prime, he used to do this thing called the rope-a-dope, where he would allow his enemy to rain down punishment on him, hoping that he was going to run out of gas and that Muhammad Ali still had enough left in his tank to beat him. So he would play possum. He would let the other guy just beat him and beat him and beat him and beat him until he got tired, and then he would bring it on. Well, there was a time when that didn't work anymore for Muhammad Ali. And he started losing. And he wasn't the greatest anymore. Because eventually, if you continue to let the enemy hit you over and over and over and over, eventually he's going to gain ground on your life. And what David pursued was he pursued his enemy. He said, I'm not going to give him a chance. I'm not going to let him get the best of me. I'm going to go after him. He wants to call me out. Well, he better pack a lunch because it's going to take some time. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to meet him on his own ground. I'm going to fight against the enemy. That's what God wants for our lives. Whatever your struggle is here this evening, whatever your struggle is, stand up. And say, you know what, no more. I'm not going to let you hit me over and over in this area in my life. I got to bring this down. This giant has to die tonight because I'm tired of fighting the same battle over and over again. How many of you are tired of fighting the same battle? The same battle over and over and over. You deal with the same problem. It comes, it goes, it gets better, it gets worse, it comes, it goes. But you know what? It's time to just kill it. Kill it. Even if it comes in a wave like this wave came of four different oppositions. But David and his men, they stood their ground and they said, we're going to keep fighting, we're going to keep fighting, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep taking the battle to the enemy until finally we overcome. And you know what was the end result? Is they destroyed the Philistines. And after David's death, his son Solomon became the king. Because David was fighting not only for himself, but for his future and for his children. And that's what's at stake with us here tonight. Is that not only is it for us, but it's for our children and our children's children. That we need to be relentless in our pursuit of God. And we got to be relentless in pursuing those things that bring us down so that we can get the victory. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads all over this place. Just bow your heads right there where you're at. Come on, just let the Lord minister to you right there where you're at. Just to look in those areas in your heart. If there's something that you've been battling over and over and over again, tonight's your night. I believe that the presence of God is here in this place tonight to enable you and empower you to finally overcome that struggle in your life. Defeat that giant once and for all. And if you're here this evening, maybe you've been walking with the Lord for a while. And you can honestly look at your life and say, you know what? Maybe I do have some pride in my life. Maybe I do think that I'm okay. Maybe I do think that I don't need God as much as I used to. But tonight I want to make a change in my life. I want to go back to relentlessly pursuing God's presence in my life. You know, I'm going to go a little step further here this evening. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You know, I believe tonight that there are men and women here that you've given up on the call of God upon your life. You've lost sight of the purpose that God has for your life. And I want to take you back to that time when God spoke to your life. Might have been at a conference, might have been at a service. And God told you, I have a plan and a purpose for your life. I have something special for you. Life got busy. Maybe you had some struggles. Maybe you had some challenges. And you said, I'll wait till later. I'll wait till later. And that later never came. And I believe tonight God wants to remind many here this evening of that time when He called you out. Of that time when He said, I have a plan for your life. I've called you to be a pastor. I've called you to be an evangelist. I've called you to be in the ministry. I've called you to work in kids gang. I've called you to do a great work for the kingdom of God. I believe tonight that God wants to rekindle that in your heart. To remind you of that. And challenge you to be relentless in your pursuit of God's purpose for your life. I'm going to ask everyone that is here this evening that if God has ministered to your life in any one of these areas, that you would take advantage of this opportunity here this evening and say, God, I'm coming to this altar tonight, Lord, because I don't want to fight the same giant tomorrow, next month, next week, next year. Or maybe you're one of those that I mentioned earlier that says, you know what, God, I don't want to miss out on the purpose and the plan that you have for my life, God. I want that rekindled in my life this evening. Or maybe you're here this evening, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you would say tonight, you know what, I'm tired of fighting the enemy. I'm tired of trying to do good and always messing up. I'm tired of doing good for a little bit and only going back to the things that I used to do. I want you to know that tonight is your night. You're not here by chance or coincidence. You're here because God has you here. He wants to intervene in your life. And if God has ministered to you in any of these areas, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar as we sing this song. And just lift your heart and lift your voice to the Lord.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. Your holy.